Good morning. Please stand for the reading of the word. Mark 4, verses 26 through 32. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters on the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then a full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." You may be seated.
It was 2010, close, maybe 2011. And I was invited to go speak at Excelsior Covenant Church across the Lake Minnetonka. And we had this dream of a new church in Mound. And the text that I chose to preach on over there was from Mark 4. You see, Jesus gives us great teaching, a bunch of different stories and parables in Mark 4. And at the end of all of his great sermonizing and inspiring talks and parables, he looks at the crowd on the beach. I think they were sitting comfortably on a blanket. Probably wasn't true, but I'm thinking they're enjoying their coffee, listening to sermons. Life is good. And then Jesus says, "Now get in the boat. We're going to the other side of the lake. There's a mission. There is a harvest field ripe for the picking, and we need people to get in the boat and go to the other side." And I used that in Excelsior on the other side of the lake, and I said, Main Street today is on the other side, not Main Street, Mound is in dire need of people to get in the boat with us and go over and start a beautiful thing in Mound. And there were and have been a continual trickle and stream of Excelsior Covenant folks who have had the courage to get up out of the comfort of their home church and get in the little boat and come over to the uncertain shores of Mound and Main Street, where things are done a little bit differently. And I am so grateful for every single one of those people who said, "This looks scary and uncomfortable, but I hear his voice. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to go to the other side of comfortable, the other side of church as usual." And today, one of those people is going to come and share a message. Nancy Adsom is one of those people with her husband, Jim. They heard the call. They had the courage to come to the other side. And I am very grateful. And as a whole, we are in a great season at Main Street where a lot of people are stepping forward and saying, "I have gifts and I want to put them to work. How can you use me here in Main Street?" And so, Nancy, would you come up here? I want to just say a prayer over you. And would you guys give her a hand for coming over to the other side of the lake? Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the way you nudge and call and stir. And thank you for the courage you give us to respond and to risk and to fail and to succeed. Because the only failure in your kingdom is not even stepping forward and trying. And today, I pray your anointing and special favor on this faithful daughter. Would you just give her the words you want us to hear today, and give her great joy as she delivers, and take away any nerves and anxiety. She is among friends. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right.
He's really tall.
That's what they say. All right.
I could step up there and be eye to eye. That's perfect. Well, good morning, everybody. Morning. Thanks for being here on this soggy morning. Jeremy's been praying and preaching from parables the last few weeks. And he's been doing so in relation to those parables in terms of kingdom work. We've on this notion of kingdom not after we die and go to heaven, but what is the definition and what does this kingdom look like? I'm here where we are right now. And we're going to get to that mustard seed in just a minute, but I just wanted to put it on parable pause for just a minute, and I wanted to answer two questions. Who am I and what am I doing up here? And Jeremy really answered the first one. No, that's okay. but my husband Jim and I have actually, we weren't the first crew to come over on the other side of the lake. We came over about a year ago, but it was right after Jeremy had been at Excelsior about this time last year that we were stirred and came over to the lake. And why am I up here? Well, I have to tell you that Jim actually suggested this. It's his idea. So if I fail, it's your fault. But you see, it was his idea that I share a message on a Sunday morning. They were trying to plan a golf outing. And Jim was trying to just get Jeremy out of town for a couple of days. And we're driving one day, and he's noodling, how am I going to do this, get Jeremy out of here? And Jim looked at me, and he says, you know, you could really help me if you would just do the sermon. And I said, I doubted Jeremy would ever let that happen, and he agreed. Jim thought the same thing. But Jim has seen me share messages before, and he's had confidence in me. And then he presented the idea to Jeremy. And when Jeremy heard the idea, he had this blank look. He's really good at blank. Just like, don't know how to read that one. But after some consideration, Jeremy emailed me that he wanted to really draw on the gifts of his flock. And yes, would I please prepare and share a message? So that's how I got up here. See, I have no credentials, no Masters of Divinity, no ordination, no degree in theology. But once in a while, God puts me in such a place as this, to speak, to share his word. And actually, God's been prompting this message for several months. I just didn't know it. Last spring, Jeremy had a spark of a new vision for Main Street. Remember that? This new idea of kingdom here on earth. And that when he shared that idea, we didn't know what it looked like even at that time, and then he went away on vacation for 3 weeks. And but it lit a fire in my heart. And then this summer, we were reading, as one, The One Life by Scott McKnight out on the shores of the lake. And that book poured accelerant on that fire for me. See, I was a typical Christian that attended a church as Scott McKnight described in his book. I thought I had the right checklist. Regularly attended church. Weeks of formal Bible study, such as BSF. Check. Attended Christian retreats and conferences. Focused on prayer. Served in church leadership positions. I thought I was doing it right. But I was missing a huge component. I was missing the whole idea of God's kingdom here on earth and that sense of spirit-filled community instead of church. That spirit-filled community, not just church. And there were actually two men here at Main Street, besides Jim and Jeremy, that helped me reposition my thinking, my longing, about this whole idea, and they don't even know who they are. Would you like to know who they are? Well, of course you do. The first one was up here with an iPad on the Sunday that we listened to our missionary friends when Seth and his family were here. I don't even know what this guy's name was. In fact, when I describe him, if you know his name, please let me know. He'd been on that trip to Nicaragua, And with much excitement, he was up here with that iPad, and he was flipping through all the... Well, who was it? Brad. Okay, thank you. Now I... What? Brian. All right, now I can have a name to go with this. Brian was sharing all these pictures with great excitement, and we couldn't see a single one, and it didn't really matter. But they were pictures from his trip, and he kept looking out at this group, and I get goosebumps just saying this. But he kept telling us, you've learned to love Jesus, but have you learned to love his people? Over and over again, he kept saying. He went on and on, and he made a huge impact on my life. That little phrase, have you learned to love my people? One little phrase, big impact. You've learned to love Jesus. Have you learned to love my people? And then along comes Carl. Hi, Carl. I warned him. Surfside, Wednesday night, we're reading the book around a picnic table, discussing this new definition of kingdom. And I shared that I needed to look around and see the needs of people, not just be a Sunday church person. And Carl makes the gesture of a cross, up and down, left and right. It's both, he says, looking up to God and left to right to look around at God's people. And I keep thinking about that gesture, one small gesture, big impact on my life. Do you even remember that, Carl? See? That's a point. We'll talk about that. And see, Jesus spoke of these small gestures, these small phrases that would generate big impact, big result. So let's get back to the parable. Hit the play button, take it off, pause. And we're back at the mustard seed, where Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seeds on the ground day and night, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when planted it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. See, these two men, Brian and Carl, were scattering seeds with just ordinary comments. But fertile soil, I guess, was there that day, and it produced huge impact that can be harvested. In the book, One Life, Scott McKnight reinforces the notion that God is at work in our ordinary work, in our ordinary life. He says in his book, Jesus wants his listeners to see that the kingdom of God is at work in the ordinariness of everyday life. I had to practice that. The ordinariness of everyday life. God is at work. God is at work. God is at work in the most ordinary of things we do. He goes on to say, when you make that cup of coffee at the cafe, when you teach those kids how to read, when you do that ordinary assignment, and when you carry about life in the only way you can, because that's the way life works, God is at work. Ordinary work is where God is at work. I'd like you to meet Karen. Karen is a server at the Denny's restaurant in Bloomington. I take my 93-year-old dad there for lunch once in a while just so he can see Karen. She brings joy to his soul. She inquires how he's doing. She gives him a hug when she brings out his pancakes. She teases him. The whole works. We always have to sit in Karen's section, and I see that others ask to sit in her section too. Karen and I are now Facebook friends. She's a sister in Christ. Karen is sowing seeds in her ordinary life, her ordinary work. Just her smile feeds my dad with joy beyond measure. And then there's Julie. Some of these names are real and some aren't, by the way. Julia is very talented as an artist. God blessed her with artistic abilities that not many possess. She studied along those lines, heading to a career in art. But she works in the office of the family business. She does payroll and bookkeeping and taxes and invoices and nothing artsy about it. But non-Christians, the world culture would say, well, what a loss. You know, she's missing her opportunities. But Julie knew that the realism of this family business was a place for her to lead and influence others, make a change in this world, in this office. She passes along encouragement, sometimes a scripture verse, along with the paycheck to the auto mechanic. She's filled with grace to pass on to others in the office. With this family business, she understood how things are, so she could understand how to change them. She's sowing seeds in her ordinary work. And it's not only at work. Scott McKnight declares in his book that little is large. He says, Jesus wants us to imagine a world in which our small actions are seen as significant actions. Opening the door of welcome, a short note of encouragement, a gentle word of help. These are the small mustard seeds that can have a large consequence. If we develop this kingdom vision, we will know that our little actions swell into kingdom significance. Her name is Peggy. She has a heart for the Native American people that live on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And every year, Peggy pulls together a group of people to spend a week at Pine Ridge doing a variety of tasks. They build ramps for wheelchair access, they hold Bible camp for the kids, or whatever else is needed that particular summer. It's her mission to repeat year after year. They don't go just once and then check it off their, I got that one done, I did my mission work. They keep going back. And it's not a mission of the denomination of her church, and actually not a mission of their church itself, but Peggy got it started, and it's because of her initiative that it keeps going. Then there's Corinne. She's an older woman that sat next to me during adult Sunday school class at this new church I was attending. See, I didn't grow up studying the Bible, and here I was, holding my first Bible, you've heard part of this, ma'am, listening to a very engaging man teach a Sunday school class, and I didn't know they even had a Sunday school class for adults. I was holding this book, but I couldn't find my way around it. I was 40 at the time. I was trying hard to sneak a peek at the table of contents, you know, to find out where I could find Romans in this book. I was embarrassed. But she was really encouraging, sitting next to me, helping me find the right place. And she stuck with me. That was a little seed that grew really big over the years. So little seeds, little actions. Little things that we think don't count. But they might. Back in 1990, when I was in the middle of my second divorce, yes, Jim is my third husband, my church was handing out these little magnets to kick off the fall theme. Now, I know you can't see this, but I couldn't see Brian's iPad either. So I decided to go for it. And it says, let your light shine. At this point in my life, I still didn't own that Bible. I didn't know I was saved by grace. But for some reason, this little magnet stole my heart. This little magnet made me cry. And God was telling me that somehow I had a light to shine. And I didn't know what it meant, and I didn't know what to do with that revelation. That little magnet is a seed that produced high results over the last 27 years. And of course, it's still on my fridge. The group that was planning the fall theme that year, they have no idea what that little magnet had on me. The person that had to design and order the giveaway probably just thought they were helping out with some kind of a grunt job that day. And here I am sharing that part of my story, holding this little thing, this seed. Another example of seeds. Jesus didn't mention social media in his parable. They wouldn't have understood it if he had, which is the whole point of a parable. Put the thought into something they'll relate to, something they'll understand. So if Jesus walked in here today, which Jeremy has been known to say once in a while, how would he relate Facebook to mustard seeds? And actually, that was the topic of discussion last Wednesday night at Three Taverns, which is held here on Wednesday night, and Jeremy will talk about it in announcements later. But they talked about, in that discussion, the whole ramification of social media. Postings and comments can be seeds, good or bad, for many people to see. When Danny asks on Facebook, who can I pray for? Who needs prayer? He's sowing a seed. He may never know the outcome, but he's extending an invitation. I have a friend on Facebook who always describes the service projects he and his wife are involved in. Bringing meals to their door, bringing groceries to their door, week after week. And most weeks there's a post to that regard. One lady made a comment on his post, and she said, "You are such a great example of someone who is willing to help others." And I nodded my head to Chuck when I read that, and I said, "Ah, isn't that sweet?" And then my friend replied to the lady, "Now I have to love him." And I thought, "What? You're already serving him. What? Aren't you loving him?" He is sowing seeds. First, that he's serving others, and then the whole notion that just serving with your hands and feet might not be enough. What's the condition of your heart? Do you love the person you're serving? That was a seed for me. One little comment on Facebook to take that service idea to the next level. See, we're dropping seeds and we don't even know it, much less what the impact will be. We live in God's kingdom here, and we have to be aware that we are making an impact. Her name is Beth. Her husband isn't especially nice to her, in my estimation. Not abusive, anything like that. He's just not always nice. Yet she treats him so well. I hear her on the phone, and she admires his work. She commends him. She sounds so glad to hear his voice when he calls. And I think, really? Yes, really. She's growing closer to God as she cherishes her husband. And she knows this. She speaks to this. She's loving way beyond being kind. And people, like me, notice. She's sowing seeds. Well, I think it's always interesting to look at scripture that comes both before and after the piece that we're studying, that we're discussing. And so I did that, and so it is with this parable. Just before this parable, Jesus talks to his disciples in 4:21, and he says, "Do you bring a lamp and put it on a bowl or a bed? Do you put it under a bowl or a bed? No, instead, don't you put it on a stand? Well, that's my magnet, guys. Let your light shine. Don't hide it." And just before that, in Mark 4:1-20, Jesus has just been teaching the disciples about the four types of soil that farmers encounter when sowing their seeds and how that seed actually does in each type of soil. Just as a refresher, there were four types: the hard soil, where seed never takes root; the rocky place, where, yeah, maybe a couple seeds are going to sprout, but not very good harvest. There's the spot full of thorns, where they get choked out even if they do sprout. and finally the good soil. So just before he teaches them about this mustard seed, he's already taught them to be good soil. How appropriate. Sometimes we're sowing seeds, and sometimes we're receiving seeds without even knowing it. When you are out and about sowing seeds in the course of your day, you probably have little control over how good the soil is in someone else's heart. But friends, other people are constantly sowing seeds by the power of the Holy Spirit to take root in your heart. And how good is our soil? Are we a fertile spot to capture that mustard seed? That idea, that gesture, that simple phrase, so it can grow and make massive impact on God's kingdom here, now? How does all of this then impact us? What's the so what? Well, for me, Carl, and that other guy, Brian, I have his name, with that iPad, they got me looking around. They were dropping seeds, and I guess the soil was good, fertile soil, because I feel the growth and the passion to look around, to see how can I change, how can I bless someone else? How can I make the most of this kingdom vision now? God has me making some changes based on these seeds that have taken root and started to grow. I'm trying to look around to see where I can bless serve someone else in my ordinary day. Well, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jeremy spoke of God's two laws. Remember, love the neighbor, love God, and love your neighbor. Carl's Cross. And Jeremy asked the question, who is your neighbor that day? And he challenged us to go out of our comfort zone, maybe head to the mall and look around for someone that might need someone to talk to, a stranger in need of a shoulder. And I hope I can get to that point someday. But right now, I realize I'm not even seeing the needs of those folks that I already know. These seeds that are taking root in me don't always feel good when I really see what needs to be done. A lady I know from working in real estate called me to inquire about how it is to retire. She's a widow. She uses her profession to keep busy and just keep occupied. And she can't really envision what she would do without that work. Well, I answered her questions that she had about all the paperwork and the formality and what needs to be done legally and all that stuff. And I encouraged her to move forward, that she had so much energy to engage in a new something that would be her passion. Answered all her questions, and we hung up. A couple days later, God started tapping me on the shoulder. He said, is that all? Answer her questions? Was there anything else you might want to pursue with her? Like what? I asked. Does she know Jesus? I don't know. She's a really smart lady, loves to learn, loves to go to every TED's talk she can. He said, yeah, I said, I know. She'd probably be a good person to invite to Three Taverns. God said, yes, so why don't you? Well, she's elderly, and I don't think she drives at night, and pretty soon it's going to be dark so early, and that just won't work. Well, God said, why don't you offer to pick her up? She just lives in downtown Excelsior. Yeah, but that would disrupt the pattern Jim and I are starting to develop for Wednesday evenings. So, he said. But she really talked a lot, and it can be so draining. And frankly, she's not really someone I would want to spend that much time with. On and on, we chatted. I think it was 2 a.m. one night. And never once did God say, well, you are so right, Nancy. What was I thinking? Nah. Heavy on my heart, God is definitely in it. What will I do about it? At this point in prepping this message, I sent her an email, and she called instantly. She was so excited. So we're having coffee tomorrow morning. See, in all my efforts to look around, I see Mary. I can reach out to Mary, who was in a car accident last year, has brain injuries, can't drive. I reach out to Mary, and she is easy to bless, easy to love. And I see Lois over there, and she had a stroke a few years, and I reach out to Lois, and she's easy to bless, and she's easy to love. And while I'm looking around up here, up sneaks this realtor from behind. And she reaches out to me, and she knocks on my door. I only asked her questions, and I don't see the real need she has laying on the table. I almost missed this neighbor to bless. I have a lot to learn. Please teach me, Jesus. How about you? Are you ready to go to the mall and bless a stranger? And if you are, great. Or do you need to start with someone you already know that maybe isn't so easy to be around? I wish I could say it's always easy. It's not. Jeremy says we're not lazy, we're just too busy. That's not always true. Pastor Jeremy is always planting seeds, and we know that. He is a wonderful shepherd of our flock. He is always pointing us back to God's word. He is very smart. In fact, he's a little intimidating to me, and I need to get beyond that, and we've talked about it. But his transparency is worth noting. And he encourages us to remember that we are Main Street. We all walk through that door because we have a sense of who God is, that there is such a thing as faith, and that we somehow belong. Or we walk through the door to see what this Main Street is all about. This time we're going to move into a time of communion. Last month, I happened to be sitting in the front row when we celebrated communion. I was one of the first to receive the elements when I sat down that day. And when I sat down, I looked down. I looked down at all the feet that were passing right in front of me that day. These were the feet, the shoes of you guys. My brothers and sisters who know Jesus and who long to know him more. There were little feet and big feet. Fast-paced strides and slow little shuffles. There was even some durable medical equipment in the form of a walker helping someone on their journey. And I just kept watching. They were all different, but they were all going in the same direction. They had all walked in that front door and were now being reminded through this communion of the sacrifice Jesus made to cover our sins and be reconciled to God. Jim and I will be serving the elements this morning. Last month, I looked at your feet. And today, as I look into your eyes, I thank you for being part of Main Street as we learn to sow seeds and be fertile soil together.